Welcome to your unique brain, creatively connecting bodies, minds, and hearts of those living with a traumatic brain injury and others dealing with hypersensitivity. Today's topic, Lyme disease, a hero's journey and a spiritual path that breaks you open. An interview with Shay Smith, herbalist, who says, "One of the biggest gifts God gave me to get my life back on track was Lyme disease." Shay is the director of The Halo, which is a store in Nevada City, and it serves the community, offering resources for healing alternatively. She's an herbalist and provides all kinds of information and offering oils and sprays and flower essence and many, many other things, herbs that are either Western, Ayurvedic, Chinese, or culinary. An endless supply of resources and support by practitioners who help people that are dealing with health challenges and maybe have reached an impasse in the medical model. People with Lyme's disease or emotional issues or even electronic hypersensitivity might walk into her store. So I'm very excited to meet Shay and have the opportunity to interview you. Hi, Shay.
Hi. Hi.
Okay, ready? Here we go. I know that you have a long love affair with the plant and animal kingdom and the plant medicine, and there are not a lot of people who know about these things. I have read about you that you're from New Mexico and your first teachers were Native American.
Yes.
That introduced you.
Yes.
To the plants, the plant medicine. And I also know that you had some personal health challenges. So my first question is, what would you recommend to people that deal with a compromised nervous system, maybe because of a traumatic brain injury or Lyme's disease or burnout or chronic fatigue or whatever else it might have been?
Right. Well, thank you, Sabine. I'm really thankful to be able to share this knowledge. And it's been a lifetime of accumulating this knowledge. And I've used it for myself and my family and our community. And I really love sharing it. So thank you very much for having me.
Lucky us.
And I also want your listeners to know that I am an herbalist, but I am not a licensed practitioner. And so I'm sharing my wisdom and my experience and my knowledge, and I am not diagnosing, but I will call illnesses by their common name. So just so you know. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest hurdles to get over if you have recently acquired a traumatic brain injury or TBI, or you have an illness that is really affecting your brain, such as Lyme disease, is the reality that your life has changed either overnight or accumulatively, but it has drastically changed, and the person you were then is not who you are now. And so the ability to accept that fundamental fact is the first step toward healing, because some of the things that you have to do, realizing who you are now or have become, are that you have to minimize so many things in your life that were very commonplace that you never thought of before. So that might be your activity level, your ability to multitask. You might have been able to juggle four or five different things in your old self, but now can only handle one thing at a time. You may have been able to meet the needs and be caregivers for others, and you don't have the stamina to do that any longer. You could have had friends that were very spontaneous and fun and exciting to be around, but now those very personalities deplete you because you cannot adjust spontaneously to things like you could before. So it's a complete life overhaul on many levels. And for myself and for my son who has Lyme disease, it meant drastic things such as moving out of the city. It meant developing a new set of friends or redefining my friendships from what they were before. It meant I could no longer handle the sounds of maybe the dishwasher or the dryer, and redoing my life so that the dryer was working at night when there were doors shut and I wouldn't be able to hear it and I would hopefully be sleeping. That's probably the first, second, third, and fourth layers that you have to address just to get through your daily life. Then we start looking at nutritional levels of what you are putting in your body. You've now dealt with the external factors of your life, of where you live and the hours of your day. But now nutritionally, we have to look at what are the foods or the nutritional supplements or the herbs that can strengthen my nervous tissue, rebuild my body. And for me, nutritionally, I found that one of the quickest ways to do that in changing my body was to go to an organic, very simple diet that didn't involve a lot of cooking, because cooking in itself was exhausting to me. I could no longer follow a recipe. I burned so many meals by not being able to keep my attention while in the kitchen, and I could no longer multitask. So really it was about chop vegetables, add water.
Yeah.
And in doing that and eating a more holistic whole foods diet of simplicity, that in itself was really helpful. Adding the B vitamins, the fish oils, these are things that help us. But for me, being an herbalist, utilizing that knowledge that I had of herbal products really, really helped me. And so I focused on the herbs that rebuilt brain health or that calmed my nervous system. And we have a whole apothecary of these herbs to choose from. And the more you delve into herbalism, the more you refine which herbs you choose for which illness and which herbs you choose according to a body type. And that's the beautiful thing. We have literally hundreds of thousands of plants on this planet, and there is nothing that we can't enhance and help with our plant medicine. I don't want to use the word cure, because that's not always the case. But we can definitely, definitely help alleviate side effects.
So let's take myself as an example.
Yes.
I walk into your store. I have lived already, you know, for 17 years with a head injury. I still have a hypersensitivity with light, sound, smell, noise. Mm-hmm. It all seems too loud, too busy, the things you describe. Anxiety when overwhelmed. And processing, multitasking, it becomes harder when there's too much input. Difficulties relaxing physically and mentally at the end of the day. So no deep sleep. At times, concentration problems. And of course, you know, challenges with emotions, you know, frustration and anger. And
sure.
Yeah. There you go.
So, I mean, this is not unusual. And immediately from our perspective, we see nervous system disorder. We see that your nervous system is unbalanced. And then we begin the inquisition of what is causing this imbalance in you. Is it from a physical injury? Is it from a virus or bacteria, which can definitely affect your brain health as well? Is it from poor digestion and not having good gut health? Mm-hmm. You know, is it lack of minerals? Is it your hormones? There's so many ways of looking at this. And a good intake will uncover where this is coming from. There's also just constitutional variances in people of how they are born on this planet and the type of body that they are inhabiting. And this affects your personality as well. We have, you know, a Vata personality, which tends to be, you know, long-limbed and long-necked and long-fingered. And they tend to have more central illnesses around their nervous system. Whereas a Kapha constitution, personality, body type, which is more a salt of the earth person. They are sturdier, they're stronger, they're thicker builds. They don't have the same type of nervous issues. So we're looking at constitutional body types as well. And if you came in while an herbalist was talking with you, in the background of the conversation, an herbalist is assessing your body type, listening to what you're saying and writing down the symptomology, but also looking at the pallor of your skin, the health of your nails, looking at your hair, looking at your weight proportion, looking at how you speak, the strength of your voice, looking at all of these things to kind of get a big picture of what is going on with you health-wise. In your case, it would eventually come up that you have a traumatic brain injury. So that's one piece of the puzzle, and a really large piece of the puzzle, but that happened 17 years ago. And so in 17 years, there could have been a lot of compounded facts that have added to that. You could have gone through a really stressful period adapting to this, and you've thrown off your nervous system because of stress. You could have gone on antibiotics with some illness in the 17-year period, and you don't have good gut health and digestion anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's unraveling all that. When you come in with a list of symptoms, we can't fix every symptom in the first visit, or even in the first month, but we can address your top 3 to 4 symptoms, get you on a plan with that, and then keep working through your list until mm-hmm. we get to the bottom. A lot of the symptoms are related to other symptoms that might be, you know, much lower on your list, and as one resolves itself, all of a sudden you realize you don't have the other symptom mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So I would ask you, you know, if you had to pick 3 things that are bothering you the most, that are affecting your life the most, that are using the most life force to deal with on a daily basis, what would those be?
Yeah. And right now, I'm thinking about my noise sensitivity. Mm-hmm. Like an air conditioning mm-hmm. could drive me absolutely crazy, while other people don't even hear it.
Right.
Or people that are anxious or, you know, upset around, you know, people that usually I could easily tolerate, I cannot be around anymore.
So other people's anxiousness.
Moods get to me. So with that comes the need to having to isolate, mm-hmm. and that I really experience a big loss.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So once again, right away, going to your nervous system, and I would say asking, you know, other questions, I would start to look at nutritional deficiencies, and I would also start to look at adrenal health. Because when you are having to react to these onslaughts to your nervous system 1,000 times a day, you are depleting your adrenals. So I would choose herbs that not only supported your adrenal health, but that were also nervines. And we call the class of herbs that are nervines, we call a specific class of herb nervines because they calm the nervous system. They add a soft cushion to your life. And we can combine nervines with adaptogens, and adaptogens rebuild your ability to handle daily stress. They improve your ability to remember things, to handle the stresses of daily life, to have neuroplasticity, and I would begin to think about putting you on some of those herbs.
Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting. So it might not anymore be the physical trauma to the brain that changed something physiologically. It might just be the ripple effect, like depleted adrenals. Mm-hmm. And that's
so.
A good news, because, you know, their possibilities to work with. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so a few of the symptoms of depleted adrenal is inability to sleep, racing mind, anxiousness, heart palpitations, exhaustion, mood swings.
Rumination.
Yes. Going on and thinking that circular, those circular thoughts that are just recordings in your mind that just keep coming around and not being able to get off of recording. Mm-hmm. And we often see that with people, especially at nighttime too. You know, they, if they're able to fall asleep, then they wake up and the first thing they start doing is thinking. And it's just a big cyclical pattern of thinking.
Yeah.
And they can't go back to sleep. And so we have an herb for that, passion flower. And a few drops of passion flower under your tongue or in a small cup of water usually will take effect within 10 to 15 minutes. For me, it's like 3 minutes. But I keep a bottle of it right by my bedside. And when I wake up and I can't stop it, I just put a dropper full of that under my tongue and I'm usually back asleep for the night.
Yeah. And would you also say the light sensitivity and general sensitivity can be attributed to a depleted adrenals?
Well, yeah, and you have to realize that you have this whole cascade, you know, your adrenals affect your thyroid. And so, you know, all of these things begin to add up for affecting your ability to handle life's daily processes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember there was a time that all the shades had to be pulled on my windows in my home. I mean, going out in the daylight was just excruciating if I didn't have a wide-brimmed hat on and sunglasses. And even that, still, it was excruciating. And I was able to get through this as I got healthier and healthier. Those symptoms disappeared. I don't even wear a hat anymore, you know?
Yeah, and this is how many years later?
This is 8 years later.
Yeah.
8 years later.
Yeah. So your own health challenge with Lyme disease and your son's, that has driven you further into exploring.
Oh, yeah.
Herbs and yeah,
definitely. And you know, much like anybody who has gone through this, just accepting that you have to rebuild your life person by person, choice by choice, and the life you had is not the one that you can sustain any longer.
So I'm twice as long ahead with my traumatic brain injury, and I still have a lot of fight in me and not wanting to accept and still comparing myself. And you seem pretty peaceful when you talk about those changes that I experienced as incredible losses.
Yeah.
So did you go through phases of anger, frustration, and bargaining? And
oh, yeah, I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I really was suicidal. At least for 6 months, but I would say severely depressed, possibly for 2 years. And every day I thought of how to get off this planet. It was too excruciating to lose my career, to lose my friends, to lose the daily existence of my life, to know that I didn't have even the life force energy to really take care of myself well. I couldn't read anymore. Reading was exhausting to me. Talking to people was exhausting. The computers exhausted me.
Talking on the phone.
And, you know, dear, wonderful people in my life could not, and to this day, can't understand unless they've gone through something like that.
Yes,
they just don't know. I'm not mad at them at all.
Yeah.
You know, I don't expect them to know. I didn't know before I had this.
Yeah.
And I look back, how many people in my life probably had some of these symptoms, and I didn't even realize it.
Yeah. It sounds that you went also through a period of isolation and withdrawal, and was that sad for you? Or?
It was pretty drastic. I had been a flight attendant, international flight attendant, for 25 years with American Airlines. So, first of all, there was no way I had the stamina to travel. There was no way I could do work days of 10 to 12 hours. Talking to a plane load of people, the sounds of the jet engines, there was just no way to do that career anymore. And it was a great career because I only worked, you know, 2 weekends a month, and I had off the rest of the time, and it provided a good salary, and I had many other things going on in my life. I loved to bake. I had a farm. I was the mother of 2 boys. I went to school and learned construction, so I loved building projects. And I retired from my job. I didn't lose it, but I would have lost it eventually, but I retired. My husband left me. I could no longer take care of my children at the time, who were 12 years old and 8 years old. So I had to send them to live with my parents in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. I couldn't drive. And I lost my farm. And I couldn't work. Mm-hmm. So I was financially devastated. Mm-hmm. And I sat on my deck, and I just wanted to kill myself. Everything that was important to me, I had lost. Mm-hmm. But I realized in plotting my death daily for hours that there was no way to get off this planet, to get out of this life without inflicting a lot of pain on people who didn't deserve to be in pain and whom I loved very much. And there was no way I could die a noble death, really, without devastating other people. Because I thought, well, you know, I can't let them know I killed myself. Maybe I could just die while trying to rescue someone or something. You know, suicidal ideation. And I had to get out of that mode. And, you know, and then I went into this, you know, if there's life outside this planet, just beam me up. Just get me out of here. And, you know, that lasted about a week. And then I finally went back to my studies of college and of looking at the great masters and of Jesus and Buddha and Muhammad and all these amazing people, and seeing there were people who ascended out of this planet. And what did they all have in common? And they were devoted to humanity and to a spiritual life. And I wasn't there, and continue to not be there, though I am much more now than I was then. And I realized if I had any hope of surviving this life, I just really had to let go of the me I knew. And I had to become a new person. And I didn't know who that new person would be or if anybody would like this new person, because this new person to me seemed pretty boring, pretty sickly, pretty moody, you know, super ultra sensitive, irritable all the time. I mean, not really great qualities for starting a new life.
Yeah, I used to really be very judgmental of people like that.
Right, exactly. But I just accepted that I would have a really small group of friends, and that in order to survive, this is what I was going to have to do. And that none of that manifested. None of that happened. All my worst fears of who I was going to be and the types of friends that would accept me were all in my head. Because as I became more authentic and could just be who I was and quit trying to be somebody else, this really amazing person began to unfold that was much more sensitive and much more present in all my relationships. And my life was much more manageable. I could only do a few things, but do them well. Mm-hmm. And when I set the expectations to my family and friends that, you know, I just can't be that person you want me to be anymore. This is who I am. Yeah, I lost people in my life. There were people in my life that just said no, and they had to go. It was sad, but other people came that are amazing. Mm-hmm. And out of that, being able to truly be myself, I took better care of myself. I didn't care what other people thought. I ate all the weird foods that I never would have eaten before. I did things like yoga and meditation. I did very light exercise, whereas before I was an aerobic instructor. You know, now walking to get the mail was a huge big thing for me. And I patted myself on the back for it. I'm like, wow, you made it all the way to the mailbox and back today, and you're okay. Mm-hmm. And eventually that led to me being able to open a business. So that's how far I've come.
Yeah. It sounds a lot like you did it all for yourself in terms of changing your attitude. You started reading, self-discipline. It's like...
But in that, as I got better, my children lived with my parents for about 3 months, and they came back to live with me, and being such kind human beings, they saw that their mother was not able to do for them what she had done in the past. And I prided myself on being this amazing mom that did everything. That just wasn't the case anymore. And they stepped up and they supported me, and they had to grow up sooner than I wish they would have had to. Mm-hmm. And I wish they didn't have to grow up so soon, but it also turned them into amazing human beings.
Yeah. And now looking back, you know, you have accumulated so much knowledge. What do you wish you would have known back then when you were first found out that you're dealing with Lyme disease that you know now? What do you wish you would have known back then?
Gosh, that's I don't think you can prepare yourself for this. It's like saying, what do you wish you had known before you became a paraplegic that you know now? I mean, you get thrown into this situation and there is no preparation for it. I wish that I wouldn't have been so blasé about all the tick bites I was getting living in Cape Cod. I wish that instead of making it a game every day of picking ticks off myself because I went hiking in the forest, I would have been wearing long sleeve clothing and rose geranium essential oil and much more aware of tick health. I didn't even know Lyme disease existed. Ticks were a pain, they were gross, they attached to my body. It was like, ugh, get these things off, but you know, no big deal.
Yeah, I discovered people sometimes they say if they would have, a common theme is they would have been more compassionate and with themselves and kinder with themselves.
That, yeah, okay, so, you know, that was the biggest obstacle for me was letting go of the expectations and the way I thought my life was going to be and stepping into the reality of God just gave me a life do-over. And the path that I was on was not the path I was supposed to be on. And when I look at myself now as compared to myself before all this, I'm much more community-oriented. I'm much more compassionate to others as well as myself. I have a tremendous amount of patience because I've had to be so patient with myself when I haven't wanted to be patient. And out of that learning to be patient, when I see other people struggling, I have infinite patience with them. So if you really want to know the truth, I like myself a lot better now than the person I was before. But in terms of society, I was a much more go-go-go productive human being. But in terms of me being happy and living into my life person, path, I feel like Lyme disease was one of the greatest gifts God ever gave me for getting my life back on track. I think I led a very shallow life before this. I think I took for granted my health. I took for granted the energy of other people. I took for granted everything I had because it was unlimited and in abundance. And that is not the case now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this entitlement to stamina. And
Yeah. And so I appreciate other people's life force energies and that they're willing to share their life force to help me get something done. I am in such appreciation, and oftentimes they'll say like, oh, Shay, it's no big deal. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's a really big deal.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And how is it for you, since it's like an invisible disability, how is it for you that it's hard for other people to understand?
Right. So I don't even expect them to understand. I don't go out with the expectation that people are going to understand. Mm. I go out with the expectation that I ask for what I need. I go out with the expectation that I'm not asking for any special favors in the world. If I don't have the energy to be out in the world, I'm not going to be out in the world. If I'm somewhere and I need to rest, I'm going to say I need to rest. The people that are accompanying me know who I am. And strangers who don't get it, I don't expect them to get it. They might think it's weird that I need to sit down in the middle of some activity, but that's just the way it is. And Yeah, there can be a lot of judgment from other people about that. I can't worry about their judgment. I'm just trying to survive.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm also happy for them that they don't have this, because if everybody had this, the world would come to, the world would be a very different place, for better or worse, but I know what it's like to get through my days, and I'm thankful for the people out there that have the abundant energy that keep the world running, because I don't have a lot of that right now.
This concludes part one of the interview with Say Smith. You can look forward to part two in the next interview. Bye-bye.